Nearly every family has a set of beloved stories they tell over and over. It may be how grandpa and grandma came to this country with $5 in their pocket, or an ancestor who fought in a famous battle like Gettysburg. It may be the story of romance, or a child's birth, or a moment of accomplishment. In some ways, the stories we remember and tell shape us. They explain where we've come from, and they shed light on who we are. They guide our steps as we move forward in this life. That is one of the reasons the Bible is so important to us, or should be, because it is the story of all of us from the first words of Genesis to the very last words of the book of Revelation. That is why we're retelling some of these stories with the help of the epic made for television miniseries appropriately called The Bible. It started airing last Sunday on the History Channel, and it will continue tonight and through Easter Sunday evening. And I really encourage all of you to watch it, TiVo it, record it, however you want to watch it. But I think it's very impressive. The Bible miniseries represents the past variety and sweeping scope of the Bible's stories as a unified whole and a consistent theme. It is those stories and their messages that are occupying our attention in the Sunday morning sermons and the small group discussions during these weeks of Lent leading up to Easter. We will follow some of the most inspiring and powerful Bible stories featured in these series. And in my Sunday morning message, I'll share a short video clip from the Bible miniseries to help us visualize and experience the story. My prayer is at the end of this 30-day experience series, you will see these stories from the Bible like you've never seen them before. Gain a better appreciation for God's redemptive plan for humanity through Jesus Christ, and experience greater insight into God's love for you. And the story focused on today is the story of Rahab. A story almost hidden away in the first chapters of the sixth book of the Bible, the book of Joshua. But in many ways, it is also my story. It is also your story. And as current as the morning's headlines or last night's news. But in order to fully appreciate Rahab's story, we must fully understand the backstory, which involves the Exodus, the deliverance of God's people from slavery in Egypt, because as today's story begins, the background is this. God's people had been delivered from slavery in Egypt, led through the Red Sea, and had wandered in the Sinai wilderness for 40 years. There they had received God's law and coalesced as a nation, but they were still nomads. Their deliverance was not yet complete, and the promised land was not yet theirs. In order for that to happen, they had to conquer the most heavily fortified city in the entire land. One of the last few clips, lines in the clip, "You've passed over," is a reference to the Exodus 40 years earlier that God's people had since celebrated every year in the Passover. It is a recognition that something like this is happening again for Rahab and her family, as recorded in the first chapters of the book of Joshua. And as I've said, that story is not just Rahab's story, it is yours and mine too, at least in several ways. And the first is this. My story starts out sad. As we look in Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. "Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. 'Go look over the land,' he said, 'especially Jericho.' So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, 'Look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land.' So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab: 'Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land.'" Now, Jericho is a brilliant strategic choice. It is the world's oldest known fortified city. It was considered impregnable. You couldn't get in those walls. Its defeat would have made headlines and would have struck fear into the hearts of all around. The reasoning would be, if Jericho could be defeated, the rest of us do not have a choice. But Rahab, on the other hand, seemed like a strange choice. She is referred to as a prostitute in the biblical account. And this is not an auspicious start to her story. It may have been understandable from a spy's viewpoint. Two men entering her house may not have excited much suspicion. And the location of a house on the city wall may have made escape a little bit easier. But still, she was a prostitute. How would you like that to be your autobiography? And how would you like for it to start with those words? How would you like for your story to be preserved forever with those words? Well, guess what? It kinda does. Not just your story, mine too. All of us. Dress it up however you would like, and every human story begins, maybe not as a prostitute, but as a sinner of one kind or another. The Bible says in Romans 3, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Let me give you a quick Greek lesson, something I don't do very often. You know what the Greek word for all means in that verse? It means all. Little trick there. Amazing, isn't it? All have sinned. Not just some, but every one of us, no matter how good we think we are, how good you think your grandmother, grandparents are, some saint that you think of as saintly, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And bad as that is, it gets worse. Jesus said in John 8, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Your sin may seem more respectable than mine, but it is still sin and is still slavery according to Jesus. And that's a sad story, but it's not the whole story. Because there's another way in which her story is true of you and me, and that story is from Joshua 2, chapter 4 through 14. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know that they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly, but you may catch up with them." But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, "I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Shinar and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother and brothers and sisters and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives." The men assured her, "If you don't tell what you are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land." Now, it's easy to read a story like this without fully appreciating it. So let's not do that. Let's take a minute to put ourselves in Rahab's shoes. She faced a tough decision in her life. She could have turned away the spies. She could have turned them in. She didn't have to help them. Safe choice would have probably been to stay out of the line of fire. But given a choice, she took the side of the Lord. She chose the Lord's side. And I wonder if something was operating in Rahab too. I wonder if the status quo felt like status no to her. I wonder if she was ready to be somewhere else. I wonder if she was ready to be someone else. Maybe like some of us here today. Maybe there's someone for whom the status quo feels more like the status no. Maybe there's someone who is ready to be somewhere else, to be someone else. Maybe there's someone who is ready to be set free. Do you know our God is a God who specializes in setting captives free? Remember Joseph's story, the kid, brother who was sold into slavery in Egypt? God not only got him out of slavery, out of prison, he made Joseph prime minister of the whole land of Egypt, the second most powerful man in the most powerful nation in the world. Remember the story of Joseph's ancestors in Egypt? They became enslaved by the Egyptians until God sent a man named Moses who led them out of slavery. Remember the story of Israel in the time of the judges? Year after year, generation after generation, they strayed from God and His ways and were repeatedly oppressed and enslaved by a succession of different nations attacking them. And repeatedly, God sent leaders, judges they were called in the Bible, to deliver them. Our God is a God who sets captives free, shatters our bond. He delivers us from our sins. But He will not do so without our consent, without our asking for His help and deliverance. Like Rahab, each of us faces a decision in our lives. Like Rahab, each of us faces that decision. Not just that one decision, but decisions every day of our lives. Sin or salvation? Slavery or freedom? If you haven't done so, I hope today is the day when you will say no to the status quo. I hope there is somebody here today who is ready to be somewhere else, to be someone else, to be the Christian man or woman, boy or girl that God has truly called you to be. I hope there is someone here who is truly ready to be set free from the sin that entangles you. Because if there is, then one more part of Rahab's story will become your story too. My story is marked by a scarlet cord. Rahab's story is the story of a prostitute who faced a choice. She had to choose one side or the other. Sin or salvation. Slavery or freedom. So look at Joshua chapter 2 verses 15 through 21. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. She said to them, "Go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way." Now the men had said to her, "This oath you made us swear will not be binding on us, unless when we enter the land you have tied the scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers, and all your family into the house, if any of them go outside your house into the street, their blood will be on your own heads. We will not be responsible. As for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what you are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear." "Agreed," she replied, "let it be as you say." And she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in her window. A scarlet cord, red like blood, hanging outside the city wall. And of course, you know how the story ends. Israel marched around and surrounded the city for 6 days. One time. Then on the seventh day, which normally would be a day of rest, they marched around the city 7 times and blew the horn, and then the walls began to crumble, and the army marched in. Joshua 6. When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed it with sword, every living thing in it, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring her out, and all who belong to her, in accordance with your oath to her." So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother, her brothers and sisters, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. Then they burned the whole city and everything in it. For they put the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her, because she had hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. Rahab the prostitute, and yet she was saved by a choice, by a scarlet cord hung outside the window. She not only found a place of acceptance among the people, she found something to me that is even more amazing. She became the great grandmother of King David. Amazing. And it is through the lineage of King David that we have Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Through Rahab, King David, and Jesus Christ, our Messiah. I think that's quite a story. From prostitute to the progenitor of Jesus Christ, our Lord. All from a sinner and a scarlet cord hung outside the city wall. That is my story and yours too, if you will let it be. In Galatians 4, it says, when the time arrived and was set by God the Father, God sent His Son, born among us of a woman, born under conditions of the law, so that He might redeem those of us who have been kidnapped by the law. Kidnapped by the law. Thus we have been set free to experience our rightful heritage. In other words, under Jesus Christ, grace came in, did away with the law. So no matter how bad you think you are, and some of you think you're too bad to really be saved, to really enter into heaven. No matter how hopeless you think your situation is right now, entangled by sin, entangled by addictions that are holding you back from being the person that you need to be in this life and that God wants you to be, no matter. You can be made acceptable in the sight, because the Bible tells us in Hebrews 13, Jesus suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through His own blood. So that scarlet cord hanging outside the window, red, is a symbol going, taking us into the New Testament, of Jesus being sacrificed outside the city walls. The cord of redemption going throughout the Scriptures. But the choice is yours. Freedom is in front of you. God will not make you stop sinning. He will not make you become the person that He has called you to be. It is your choice to be that person. Freedom is in front of you. There's a choice that you and only you alone can make. Your parents can't make it for you. Your spouse cannot make it for you. Your preacher cannot make it for you. Your nation cannot make it for you. Only you can make that choice to be a Christian and make that choice to rise and be the person God has called you to be free from the sins, from the addictions, from whatever it is that holds you back from being all that God has called you to be. If you would, bow in a word of prayer with me. Lord Jesus, we thank You for suffering outside the city walls at Calvary, for shedding Your blood to secure our salvation. We confess our sins and we turn to You. We claim Your sacrifice on the cross as payment for all the wrong things that we have done. Lord, we thank You for the freedom that is ours in Christ Jesus. Please help us, each one, to live that freedom by the power of Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for saving us from sin day by day and moment by moment. Thank you for delivering us from the sin that so easily entangles us and freeing us from the habits and the addictions that drag us down and bind us up in ways that are contrary to your will for us. Help us to live our rightful heritage as children of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.